Welcome everyone to What Issues, our weekly comic book podcast that opens the vault, feels the boom, weathers the aftershock, and marvels at every issue released this week. I'm your host, Keith, and I'm here to talk to you about all of your favorite issues and publishers. But first, a bit of comic book news. So a bit of news this week. First of all, John Rhys-Davies, the incredible actor, has announced that he's working on a comic book. We don't know too much details about it, but he does say it will focus on the imaginative lives of some of his characters. Now, I know a lot of people will immediately go to Gimli from Lord of the Rings, obviously. Maybe even Sala from the Indiana Jones series. However, I want some Sliders comics. So Sliders, please. I am here for that. We don't really know what it's going to be about, but I'm very, very excited about that. And yeah, you should be too. Now on to a bit of DC news. And this one's going to be a little dense, so we're going to talk about it kind of in parts. Let's talk about Bill Willingham. Bill Willingham is the writer of Fables, a comic that I've loved for a very long time. However, Bill Willingham is not somebody that I personally love. He is a very problematic man with some very questionable, no, not even questionable, just incorrect beliefs, and who also doesn't associate with people that I approve of. I've found myself distancing myself from him in the recent past as I've learned about this. And it makes reading the new Fable series kind of uncomfortable for me and Josue because it is one of our favorite comic books ever. With that said, a couple things happen. Bill Willingham came forward talking about why the Fables book has been delayed. Blamed it entirely on DC. Shortly after that, he announced that he is placing the Fables property into the public domain so that anyone can use it. Now, this is complicated because according to his agreement with DC, he is the sole owner of the property. And seemingly he would be able to do that. However, there's been conflicting reports that maybe the ownership is more complicated than that, that he's the owner of it based on an agreement with DC, and by violating the agreement, maybe he is not able to do that. There's a lot going on here. It's also very important to make clear that Fables, if you haven't read it, is based on several fairy tale characters who are already in the public domain. And what he would be putting out is the public domain rights of his versions of the characters. So the example that everybody's looking at is the Big Bad Wolf is in the public domain. Bigby Wolf is not, unless this goes through. I don't know how to feel about this. It seemingly sounds really great, but I personally just do not trust Bill Willingham at this point, and I suspect there's something unusual going on here that we're going to find out about later. If it does go through, there are some pretty great thoughts I have. I think there's a lot of creators I would rather have these amazing characters in the hands of. Specifically, I would love Mark Buckingham, the artist of Fables, to get another shot at doing it. Yeah, I would really appreciate that. And there's several LGBTQ artists that and writers that I would love to get their hands on this and give me a much more appealing version of these characters in the modern time. So we'll keep an eye out on that. I don't know how that's going to end up, but we'll see. And then a bit of Marvel news to wrap up. First of all, Marvel and Titan Books have announced a new Captain America anthology coming out. It'll be a prose book anthology, and it'll all be about Sam Wilson. That's really, really cool. I think that's a really interesting idea. There's going to be a variety of writers, including L.O. McKinney, Maurice Brodus, Gar Anthony Haywood, Nicole Givens-Kurtz, Kyoko M., and many more. So, yeah, I think that's really interesting to give Sam his own book, especially because his comic recently ended. I think that's very, very cool. Next up, Alex Ross has recently received a Reuben Award for his work on the Fantastic Four Full Circle graphic novel, which was excellent. It's a really cool award. It's not one we talked about very often, but it's given out by the National Cartoonist Society. And yeah, for the best graphic novel. I think that's really cool. I love the art of that book. I thought it was really great. I'm glad it came up on my, like I said, my radar, because the Reubens aren't necessarily something I'm aware of fully. So next, those of you who watched Hawkeye might remember that the Captain America musical in Hawkeye called Rogers the Musical, and how it went from a kind of a joke in Hawkeye to being a real musical, and now it's actually a musical, and you can see it at Disney California Adventure, which means I have to go to Disney California Adventure. But the soundtrack is actually on streaming services. I am so excited, guys. I've already listened to it. I'll be frank with you. I've already listened to Save the City several times because that's the song that everybody calls I Could Do This All Day. It's just fantastic. I just had to mention it. Listen to it. It's wonderful. I hope it wins all the awards, whatever awards it can. Let's go. My final bit of Marvel news is a really personal, like, victory that I cannot wait for. We are celebrating the 40th anniversary of Power Pack. And Power Pack, for those who don't know, who haven't been listening to the show very long, Power Pack is one of the most influential comics on me ever. When I was a child, it was one of the first comics I ever read. And basically everything the Simonsons did is what got me into comics, and Power Pack specifically. For the 40th anniversary of Power Pack, Marvel is putting out a new miniseries, and they are bringing back Louise Simonson and June Brigman for this book, which is the original creative team. We already have a cover. It's called Power Pack Into the Storm, and I am so excited, guys, about this. I think it's going to be incredible. I think, like, there's so much potential here. And one of the cool things here is something I noticed is that Franklin Richards is on the cover. And Franklin joined the team after June left the book. So this will be her first time actually drawing Franklin as a member of Power Pack. So really, really cool. Cannot wait for this book. Oh, it's going to be so good. And my last bit of news is a bit of awards news that I'm really excited to get out there. We had the Ringo Awards, and there are a couple really great ones that I wanted to make sure I highlighted. First of all, Best Webcomic went to Lore Olympus, which was also the winner of our awards last year. Best Anthology went to Young Men in Love from A Wave Blue World, which is great to see. Best Original Graphic Novel went to It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth by Zoe Thorogood, which is well-deserved. I was so hoping Zoe would win this one because she didn't win the Eisner, and it's just one of the books that's affected me the most, and it's absolutely lovely. So happy to see that. John and the Impossible Monsters took down a couple awards, including Best Single Issue or Story, as well as Best Kids Comic or Graphic Novel, which is great because it's such a good book. Best Series went to Something is Killing the Children. Best Cover Artist went to Greg Smallwood. Colorist went to Jordi Belair. Best Letterer was amazing because it was a tie between Stan Sakai and Hassan Atsmane El-Hao, which is amazing to see. And I know that was probably a big honor for Hassan. Inker went to Klaus Janssen. Artist or Penciler went to Evan Doc Shaner. Writer went to Ed Brubaker. Cartoonist went to Kate Beaton. So really, really cool to see. Again, the highlight for me is the Zoe Thorogood win. Absolutely deserved, and I absolutely loved it. So congrats to everybody, and yeah, I can't wait to see what we're going to be talking about next year for the Ringos. With that being said, I believe it's time to start talking about comic books. And you all know, as always, we don't start with a bang, we start with a boom. Boom Studios is my first publisher for the week. And I got a couple books from Boom. I will mention that I did pick up Coda, number one, but I haven't read the original run, so I'm not going to review it, because I don't want to spoil it for myself. So I did pick it up, and you guys should pick it up if you're a fan, because it looks amazing. But my first book is Damn Them All, number 8. Written by Cy Spurrier, illustrated by Charlie Adlard, colored by Sophie Dodgson with Daniel Silva de Carvalho, and letter by Jim Campbell. I'm really enjoying this new arc of Damn Them All. The involvement, not just of the demons, but of the angels. It adds a whole nother level to the conflict that I think is going to be very fun. And then we're also seeing, we're seeing the involvement of, I guess what they would call them is the hidden folk, the fairy, if you will, the fae of some sort. So we're dabbling into different religions and different belief systems, which I think is really, really dope. Yeah, really, really great. And a really cool last scene. Obviously, you know, you always want to hook people with the last page of a comic, and really good job in this case. So Damn Them All has been excellent so far, and everybody should be reading it. after that is my other boom book, House of Slaughter 17. Man, this book. All right. So this is part two of the Alabaster run about the White Masks. Series developed by James Tynion IV, written by Sam Johns, illustrated by Letizia Caranici, colored by Francisco Segala, and letter by Ann World Design. We get some more background into this character, and it's such a grim character. And I love what we're doing here. It's not your typical book in the, I guess you could call it, Something is Killing the Children universe. And it's so cool because there's like a little bit of a mystery in this one. And House of Slaughter has done such a good job of introducing us to really interesting characters. And I want to see where it goes. I'm really excited about this and how everything is tying into Something is Killing the Children. And everything seems to be coming to a very interesting head. And I cannot wait. I want to know. So definitely worth a pickup. Next up is Dark Horse Comics. And let's talk about my only Dark Horse book for the week, The Alternates, number one. Script is by Patton Oswalt, Jordan Blum, and Tim Seeley. Art by Christopher Mitten. Colored by Ian Herring, art and colors by Tess Fowler on a little bit of pages, and letters by Nate Picos. First of all, I just have to say I love Tess Fowler's art. I'm so glad to see Tess back in comics because I haven't seen Tess's work in a while, and it's someone I really, really appreciate, and I'm loving seeing back. That being said, I really enjoyed this book as a whole. It is set in the world of Minor Threats, which was a book I adored, and I was so hoping we weren't done with that world when that book ended. And it is not over. It's a completely different story. It's brand new characters, some really interesting characters with some really cool powers. And I love the unique spins on some powers. These characters are all super unique. And I really appreciate that. Like, there's a really easy way to make a superhero team or a supervillain team. It's like, okay, we got a strong guy, we got a fast guy, you know, like, no. These characters are really interesting and very, again, I use the word unique again, but they're unique and they're fun and you want to follow them. And it's got a great hook. It's a really good book already. More Minor Threats I'm very, very excited about. So definitely something to keep an eye on. Everybody should be reading it. And after that is IDW. And I have one IDW book of the week. And it's my first time buying a Star Trek book in a couple years, but I'm so excited about this one. Star Trek Picard's Academy, written by Sam Maggs, art by Ornella Greco, color by Charlie Kirchhoff, and letter by Jeff Eckelberry. As you might imagine, this is Picard's years in the Academy, and it's done in a really fun way. I love the art. It's not trying to be too realistic. And I think it's really to the benefit of the story because the story doesn't really would actually be worse with more realistic art. I like the designs of the characters. I like all these side characters that we meet throughout. And I love this Picard. I loved how stuck up, how much of a stick in the mud he is. I love that. I absolutely adore it because I love Picard. He might be my favorite captain. Maybe he's up there, but yeah. Really, really good. I'm definitely going to be subbing to this. And everybody should be reading. If you're Star Trek, then this is a book for you. Definitely one to keep an eye on and to pick up. Next up is Dynamite Comics. And I got two Dynamite books this week. First of all, Gargoyles number 9. Written by Greg Wiseman, illustrated by George Kambadeyas, letter by Jeff Eckelberry. It is the trial of Goliath. And it's really interesting. It's very much a legal drama, but with a gargoyle in the middle of it. And I think it's really well done, like legal tale. And the way you can tell the tale of two lawyers struggling back and forth within the boundaries of their rules. You know, and I always really appreciate that. And this is no exception. And just the idea of, like, is the gargoyle a sentient creature? Does it deserve the rights of a human being? I mean, we know that, but it is interesting to drop into the people of that world. What do they think? And that opens up some more questions. And I think that's really interesting. So really good book, something I'm very much enjoying. And yeah, big surprise witness at the end, of course, because it's a legal drama. So we'll know more in the next issue, but worth a pickup. And my other book is a number one, Negaduck number one. I am here for some Negaduck. Written script by Jeff Parker, art and color by Ciro Cangialosi, and letter by Jeff Eckelberry. Yeah, it's Negaduck. And I love the idea of Negaduck. He's trying to be the biggest villain in the city, and all these other villains are stealing or coming up with the same ideas he is. And by like, he's just trying to outdo them all. But at the same time, like, you almost get the feeling like he could stop them all instead of Darkwing if he just wasn't determined to be evil. I love it. It's really great. He gets a goal at the end of the issue that kind of sets us up where we're going to go. So yeah, I'm here for Negaduck. I love the Darkwing Duck series, and yeah, it's really, really good. Maybe the Justice Ducks will get a book next. So very good. After that, let's switch over to Image comic books. First of all, I Hate Fairyland number 9, created and written by Scott Young, drawn by Brett Bean, colored by Jean-Francois Ballou, and letter by Nate Picos. Yeah, this one is really fun. So we got the young Gert is the current Gert, and she's reunites with Duncan, who's fully grown up, and they're just trying to get out of Fairyland together. It's really, really cool. They run into Horabella, and they have a Terabella, and they have a conflict about it. It's a lot of fun. It's very brutal, like I Hate Fairyland tends to be, very, very violent. And yeah, I really dug it. Lots of fun. It's exactly what you want from I Hate Fairyland. I don't know what to tell you. It's really, really good. Next up is Dark Ride 8. It feels like it's been a while since a Dark Ride, but I do love this book, so I'm very happy to see it. Created and written by Joshua Williamson, created and drawn by Andre Brasson, colored by Adriana Lucas, and letter by Pat Brosseau. A good portion of this book is black and white, and I really appreciate the way the colors pop. And even when the colors come in, there's pages that still have the typical white border around them, and there's some that don't. And I think the choices of when that happens is really interesting and artistic. I think it adds a lot to the story. We get a little tease of a background here, and we also get like the first outright confirmation for the son that there's definitely something more going on, something very supernatural. And I really enjoyed that. I thought it was really cool. I've been missing my girl Halloween, though, and the book does confirm next issue we're going to see Halloween. So I'm very excited about that. But yeah, it's building up to a very dramatic end, and I don't know if it's going to be the end. I don't know how much longer this can go, but I've been really, really enjoying it. So hopefully you guys are reading it. If not, pick up the trade when it comes out. My other Image book is The Cull, number 2. This is written by Kelly Thompson, art and colors by Mattia Dialuz, and letter by Hassan Atsmani Al-Hau. I love this book. I can't explain to you what, I mean, I just love it. I mean, it's fantastic. This is a book that should be in everybody's pull box. It's absolutely stunningly beautiful visually. It's some of Kelly Thompson's coolest character writing. It's this fascinating world that they're finding themselves in. It's these instantly likable teenagers while still being teenagers, which we all know, we were all teenagers. Teenagers are terrible. Like, just in general, they're just awful people. And she manages to straddle the line of being kind of like an immature person, but likable and someone you want to cheer for. And that's really difficult to do. And I just applaud that. I love this book. It's fantastic. I can't recommend it enough. Just pick it up. And we're going to talk about DC Comics. And I got a couple DC books this week. Let's start with Danger Street number 9. This one is, of course, written by Tom King. Arts by Jorge Fornes, colored by Dave Stewart, letter by Clayton Cowles. This one is very uniquely set. So for those who read it, you know what I'm talking about. I don't need to explain it. But the panel layout for this issue is set across every page. It's the same panel layout. And it's a one-on-one struggle between two characters. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's a one-on-one struggle between two characters that lasts the entire issue. And it goes from actual battle to conversation and negotiation. And it's just really interesting and really good. And it's something that's been building up the whole series. So I will say that at the end, it's pretty definitive. It's pretty great. And I was on the record of being kind of on the fence about this book when it started, but I've really grown to really enjoy this book. And yeah, it's just, it's really, really good. I highly recommend. After that is Green Lantern number 3, written by Jeremy Adams, art by Zermanico, color by Romulo Fajardo Jr., and letter by Dave Stewart. So, or Dave Sharp, excuse me. So, I like this because Hal's starting to find out about the limitations of his ring. He's starting to realize maybe he's trapped on Earth, which is really good. And then you see Sinestro, and Sinestro is causing problems. And that leads to some obvious questions, which is like, you know, if Hal tries to stop him, Sinestro could just fly into space. And Hal can't stop him. Hal can't follow him, which is really fascinating, isn't it? I love the focus on Hal and Carol's relationship or lack of relationship in this. I think that's a great angle to come at it from, because they do have a pretty contentious relationship compared to most DC relationships. And it's a lot of fun to play with because Hal is kind of a jerk. And I think that's a good way to put a spotlight on that. So I've been enjoying this book. I'm really looking forward to the John Stewart book that's coming out as well. So yeah, if you're a big Green Lantern fan, this is a must pick up for you. Next is Batman Inc. number 12. Seemingly, and I'm just assuming this is the finale. Now, I will say that, once again, DC, unless I missed it, DC neglected to put the credits in the book. That's 4 times this year, guys. But I will go ahead and give you the best idea of who I think is behind it, because I know it's Ed Brisson. I'm fairly certain John Timms did the art, and I know Rex Locus was involved, but if there was anyone else involved, I apologize. There's no credits. So I did my best. So I loved how this ended up. And actually, I will say this, Batman Inc. is very transformed by the end of this 12 issue series. And I actually really like where Batman Inc. is at now. And I wish it was still going on, because at first I thought it was too cluttered. There were too many characters. And I think we kind of cleared that out really well and really focused on the characters that matter. And I think we have a good core group now, and it's kind of a shame if this is the end. But I hope we get more, or I hope at least they appear in other books. So good run. I enjoyed it. Final DC book is Batman and Robin number 1. Written by Joshua Williamson, excuse me. Art and colors by Simone DeMayo and letter by Steve Wands. I love Simone DeMayo. That's not a secret. So this was an absolutely beautiful book. I really enjoy it. I like that it is in canon with everything else going on in the Bat universe. It's not off on its own. So that's really, really cool. I love that it's focusing on the relationship between Bruce and Damian. I do think that's something that needs more focus, because we've gotten a lot about it lately. And a lot about it has been that Bruce is kind of a terrible father. So I think it would be good to have him like focus on his son for a while and taking care of him and being a good dad. So I think it's a good angle to come at. And I mean, obviously the creative team is absolutely perfect. I love it. We also get a tease that Damian is going to go back to school, which I think is a really good idea. I think putting him in a school environment is definitely a great place to set some stories, to give him a bit of a supporting cast, which he kind of lacked. That's what made that last Robin book so good, is he had a supporting cast. And again, put Bruce in the role of father. So I liked it. I thought it was very well done, and I will definitely be subbing to this one. So another Batman book on the list. Next up is my final publisher of the week, which is Marvel Comics. But don't worry, we have plenty of them to talk about. First of all, Incredible Hulk number 4. This one is written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, guest art by Travel Foreman, colored by Matt Wilson, and letter by Corey Petit. So again, we have Bruce slash Hulk just trying to get away from everything, just on the run, and being followed by Charlie, this young teenager who has nowhere else to turn. And we do get kind of like a bit of a furthering of their relationship as far as like why she wants to be there, maybe more of an insight into why she wants to be with Hulk and why Hulk. And I really like it. I like her character a lot. I that's kind of like one of the big surprises for this book, is they introduced this new baseline human character. And I was kind of like, oh, is this going to be like very temporary? Is she going to die at the end of issue one? But she's still there, and I really like her. I think Marvel's doing a really good job of bringing in a lot of female characters right now that have hit really well with me. Talia from Ghost Rider jumps out at me as well. Just these really interesting characters that I think are, that could have really great potential. So definitely something I really enjoy. It's a really interesting Hulk run. It's all about, of course, the monstrous nature of the Hulk, and that might be your bag. So if it is, that's something you want to read. Speaking of Talia, Ghost Rider 18 is my next book. This one is written by Benjamin Percy, art by Carlos Nieto, colored by Brian Valenza, and lettered by Travis Lanham. This tells us the story of Talia Warroad, and I love it. So it's really good. I really like it. It puts me in mind of the Leia Bardugo series. It gives me the same vibes, which I really enjoyed. And now, of course, the first book has escaped me. The second one's called Hellbent. But the origin of that character, I get a similar vibe with Talia, and it's a character I really love. So that might be why Talia kind of reflects with me very well. Yeah, really, really cool. I will buy this book for Talia alone. I'll just say that. If something happens to him and she becomes the Ghost Rider, even better. Not to be rude, but I mean, I love her so much. So yeah, definitely really, really good. Digging into her origin, and I don't think we're done yet. So definitely something to pick up. Next up, a quick review of Alligator Loki, written by Alyssa Wong, art by Bob Quinn, and colors by Pete Pantazis. It's adorable. It's amazing. You can read it on Marvel Unlimited, but they did make a printed version of it, and it's fantastic. Alligator Loki is hilarious. He is the dark version of our little shark boy, in that he's adorable and he's around all these superheroes. But whereas Alligator Loki is sinister, he's devious, he has these plots, you know, like I really like that. Whereas Jeff is just innocent and lovely and just so cute. So I love it. I almost want them to be rivals in a way. It's fantastic. The use of Thor throughout this is really good. Lots of great guest stars. Dialogue lists, basically. I don't think there's a single line of dialogue because it doesn't need to be. But if you are a fan of the character, if you want something cute, whatever, pick it up. You won't regret it, I promise. After that is Werewolf by Night number one, I believe is a one shot, actually. This book. So let me be completely honest. I haven't watched the Werewolf by Night special yet. I didn't get a chance to watch it last year, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to save it for Halloween. So I did, and I'm going to be watching it this year for Halloween. So I will check in with you guys later about that. But this book, obviously with the characters involved, put a lot of people in mind of that special, so I just thought I'd throw that out there. Written by Derek Landy, art by Fran Galan, lettered by Joe Sabino. I love this book. I love Elsa Bloodstone quite a bit, and I like all the Werewolf by Nights, both of them, I should say. So this is really cool. The combination of black and white and color, depending on which character we're focusing on, sometime in the same panel, I loved. And I love that when he is in his human form, he has color again. I just, so cool. I want this to be, at least be a mini. A one shot doesn't feel fair. It really doesn't. So I want more of this immediately. It's Halloween. Let's get more of this, please. After that is, dare I say it, and I'm double checking my list, yeah, my book of the week, Avengers Inc. number one. So I'm a sucker for detective noir and detective fiction in general. That's not a surprise to people who know me. This is written by Al Ewing, art by Leonard Kirk, color artist Alex Sinclair, and letter by Corey Petit. This is so good. There's a hook in this. The hook of this story is tremendous. It's one of the best hooks I've read in comics in a while. Probably since another book that this one has been compared to quite a bit. A comparison that I think is unfair, but understandable. But I'm not going to mention it by name. You all know. If you don't know, I don't want to further it. So, but this one is, it's so good. And I love that we're giving Janet something to do. I love that the art really complements her character and the idea of taking into account her outfits and what she's wearing, which is a very Janet Van Dyne thing to do. And I really like that. And when this book was announced, it was, oh, okay, her partner is going to be the Vision. No, that's one of the hooks. And it's fantastic, and I need to know what is going to happen. This has me hooked 100%. I'm already looking forward to the next issue. It's one of the books I'm most looking forward to. So, fantastic. Nailed it on the first try. Nailed the landing. Adventures Inc. number one. Two big thumbs up for me. Which brings me to another number one. That's our fourth number one in a row, in case you're counting. Daredevil, number one. My boy is back. Back again. Written by Saladin Ahmed. Art by Aaron Cooter. Colored by Jesus Abertov. And letter by Clayton Cowles. I love Saladin's work. I love the run on Miles. I thought it was amazing. And it's not the last time we're going to talk about Saladin in this episode, but man, it's got to be intimidating coming after that last Daredevil run. It's one of the best Daredevil runs ever. And even I felt the pressure, and I had nothing to do with the book. But I just want to say, I think this book is great. I think it does a very necessary and very smart pivot from the last storyline. It doesn't try to follow it up. It doesn't try to be the next part of that. It does its own thing. I think the other thing that's great is it keeps Elektra as Daredevil, because I was so worried that Elektra was just going to disappear or become a minor character in this run. But she's there. She's front and center. And she looks as good as ever. It's just incredible. I also love how much it's like leaning into the religious aspect of Matt Murdock and what it means to him, and what his idea of like resting and what his idea of like finding peace is. It's just, it's incredibly Matt Murdock. It's a really, really good start. I have very high hopes for this run. And if there were any nerves about it being anything less than the last one, don't worry. It's fantastic. Which brings me to Venom Annual 2023. The Contest of Chaos Continues. It's a lot of C's. Written by Alyssa Wong. Penciled by Sergio Davila. Inked by Sean Parsons and Elizabeth D'Amico. Colored by Cesar De La Cruz and lettered by Travis Lanham. I love seeing Alyssa Wong with Daredevil or Deadpool at least one more time. Love that. So, yeah, this is Venom versus Deadpool for a spot on the team. And it's absolutely ridiculous, as you would imagine. I should also point out it's Dylan, not Eddie, which is even better. So, yeah, they have to compete to see who's going to be on the team. And it's not just a straight up fight. It's a scavenger hunt, and it's very funny. And we get appearances by Valentine, which I love, with Princess. It's just really, really interesting and very fun. And it does seem like we got one fight left to go. X-Men Annual, Cyclops versus Captain Marvel. And then we get the big finale. So we're getting close, and I want to know what's going to happen. I'm very excited. After that, Supersized Venom number 25 leads us into our Spidey books. Written by Al Ewing, art by Sergio Davila, Sean Parsons, Ken Lashley, Keifu, and Julius Ota. Colored by Frank D'Armata and lettered by Clayton Cowles. And basically, this is Doctor Doom and Eddie on a buddy road trip through time. That's all you really need to know. It's so much fun. they run into Kang. They go through all different kinds of things. And it does lead to kind of what is probably going to be a really big complication in Eddie's life very soon. Really good like anniversary issue for this run. And I really wish Josue were here to talk about it with me, because I think he would have really, really liked it. But I definitely am curious to see what's going to happen with the Venom mythos, with this fate that Eddie has to become these evil versions of himself, if he can break the chain, and exactly how people like Dr. Doom might affect that. So I loved it. It was really, really good, and just a really great oversized book. Next Spidey book is Red Goblin 8. Written by Alex Pagnidel, pencil by Chris Campagna, inked by Roberto Poggi, colored by David Curiel, and letter by Joe Caramagna. In the previous issue, Normie has teamed up with Miles to work together, but Miles and Rascal find, or Normie and Rascal find Miles's good guy-ness a little too much, and they want to be able to cut loose. So they trick him and get rid of him, which leads to a really interesting conflict of, should Rascal stay with Normie? Should he seek a better host? What's the capability like? And I really liked it. I really think it's very cool. My only worry is, and this is just as someone who cares about the characters, is I'm really worried the long-term damage this is going to have on a kid like Normie, and the generational trauma that is being induced on this kid. So that's kind of sad, but the book itself is really, really good. And I love a good Crossbones appearance. I love Crossbones. So great stuff. Next Spidey book is Miles Morales Spider-Man number 10. Written by Cody Ziegler, art by Partha Pretum and Federico Sabatini, colored by Brian Valenza and letter by Corey Petit. We get an appearance by Hytale, and I love Hytale. So good stuff. I love the banter that her and Miles have. Is it flirtatious? I mean, I think there's an age difference, if I could read it correctly, but I kind of love it. Like, I dig it. It's very fun. But Miles being ran around, Miles going to therapy with Doc Samson to try to control his spidey sense. Very, very cool. And then we get a guest appearance at the end, teasing to something further, which I'm not going to hide behind a spoiler wall. I'm just going to tell you, Blade and Bloodline show up, and I fucking love Bloodline so much. So this is, I was like, yeah, I literally cheered aloud when I turned that page. So Bloodline in Miles's book is an amazing idea. I love this supporting cast he's getting right now. And yeah, I'm hooked. Let's go. Excellent choice, Cody, if that was you. And my final Spidey book of the week is Spine Tingling Spider-Man Zero. This was a Marvel Unlimited book that has been printed, and it's a big one. It's nice and thick. It's a $10, but it's got a spine. It's really great. Written by Saladin Ahmed, art by Juan Ferreira, letters by Joe Caramagna and Joe Sabino. It's absolutely creepy and terrifying, is what I'll tell you. I'm not going to spoil anything for you beyond saying that it is about dreams. It is about the absolute horror that is dreams. And I think if this was a little bit better timed when it was created, it would be a great place to see Dream Spider, who was recently introduced in the Taboo and B Earl series. But I understand it didn't line up perfectly, so that's fine. I really liked it. It was very scary. And I think it's something that, again, my co-host Josue needs to read when he gets a chance. But everybody can read it. You can read it on Marvel Unlimited or just buy this bundled copy. Really interesting. I loved it. You should too. Which brings us to our X books as we wrap up for the week. First of all, Astonishing Iceman number 2. I'm loving what they're doing with Iceman. I really think it's cool that he's getting his own book, and the kind of hook to ground him, to make him not a god, basically. Written by Steve Orlando, art by Vincenzo Caratu, colored by Hava Tartaglia, and letter by Travis Lanham. Because he's so dependent on Romeo and his powers, he can't just cut out and solve all the problems, which makes sense because that's what Orcus targeted him immediately, because he's an Omega. And it's also Bobby having to come up with creative ways to solve his problems, specifically, you know, how do you solve someone who can't freeze? I think that's really cool. So I think it's a really good book. I cannot wait for the Nightcrawler book. I think they're going to be really cool companions and like flip sides of each other. Yeah, great stuff. Keep up the good work. Which brings me to Children of the Vault 2. And the Children of the Vault, I have a special place in my heart for the Children of the Vault because I distinctly remember picking up the issue they first appeared in and being like, who? And they've become such a big deal, which I really, really enjoy. written by Denise Comp, art by Luca Maresca, color by Carlos Lopez, and letter by Corey Petit. The one thing about this book is it's leading to like a complete transformation of the world that's not really happening in the other X books. I mean, it is to a degree. Like, they're like, yeah, mutants are outlawed and stuff, but this is like the Children of the Vault are changing society. And I think that's really interesting that this is all happening. I think it's also interesting that the X-books seem to be on different timelines or speeds, I guess. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen in the other X-books when it catches up to Children of the Vault. I also love the team of Cable and Bishop because they really hated each other in the past, and it's cool to see them team up because they do have a lot in common. Yeah, really, really interesting. And I do like the society that we're seeing in the Children of the Vault, and I think it's just a really interesting lore idea that's something that could be played with for years to come. So yeah, great stuff. Next up is X-Force 44. Okay. Written by Benjamin Percy, art by Robert Gill, color by Guru FX, and letter by Joe Caramagna. Now, two of my biggest crushes in comics growing up, one was Domino, and then later on it was Sage in Extreme X-Men. This book is about Domino and Sage trying to find X-Force and save them. And I love it. I love little bits and how much this book rewards you for paying attention throughout the entire run. I love Sage getting sober, you know, not just drinking herself to death. I love how everything seems to hinge on Mikhail. It's probably going to fuck everything up. It's not just so much the heroes are going to save the day. Mikhail seems to be overreaching. I think it's interesting, and I think that'll lead to his downfall, and it might help redeem Colossus, question mark? We'll see, because obviously Colossus wasn't in his right mind. It's not like he's Beast or anything like that, so yeah, it's been a great run from issue one to here. It's been fantastic, so highly recommend, which brings me to my final book, X-Men Red, number 15. Oh my gosh, okay. Written by Al Ewing, art by Yildiray Senar, colored by Federico Belli, and letter by Ariana Mayer. We get background story about a character that we haven't had a lot of. Set as a background flashback to the current war going on Eriko. It's really interesting, and it's definitely something I think a lot of people are really excited to see the background of this character, because it's a fan favorite character right now. It's also amazing to see Storm just be a badass and absolutely obliterate a huge foe. Even though that was the plan of the bad guys, it was still cool to see. And yeah, it seems like the war is on and it's about to get ugly. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think it's fantastic. This has been one of the best X-Men books out there, period. So definitely amazing. And that is it. Those are all the books that I have this week. Make sure to check us out on Twitter. You can find me at WHI Podcast Keith. You can find producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz. You can find Josue at Josue Reads Josue. And you can find the show at WHI Podcast. That's the best place to be updated as far as our new episodes and everything. Every time a new episode comes out, you'll get a Twitter thread with a link to the episode, timestamps for each publisher, as well as a list of every issue I released or I reviewed that week. So yeah, once again, WHI Podcast on Twitter. Also, we have our sister show, Jukebox Vertigo, at Jukebox Vertigo. Make sure to follow us there on Twitter. That is our musical playlist building show, which is currently on hiatus, but we do have tentative plans to be coming back soon. You'll see the first news about that on our Twitter. Once again, Jukebox Vertigo. And finally, follow my co-host Josue on Twitch at Josue Plays Josue. He's not streaming right now, but follow him and maybe you'll encourage him to come back from his hiatus. Be very excited to see him back because I love watching him play games and it's really fun to hang out with him. So don't forget to bag, board, and box your new treasures, and we'll see you next week with the new batch of beautiful books. Stay safe and read more comics.
Hey.
Oh, hey, Jeff.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, you know, talking about Superman.
Oh, cool. I could talk about Superman.
I could talk some more about Superman.
We know.
I'll bet a few people would want to get in on this.
I'm down.
You know it.
That sounds like fun. I'll do it.
Cool. Let's do it. We can call the show Men of Steel.
And you can find it at certainpov.com.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yay.